This morning, please take your Bible and open to the Gospel of John, chapter number 16. John chapter number 16. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15 this morning as our text. We are studying about the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings, and we are at a point this morning where we're going to talk about this topic concerning him, and the title is, The Holy Spirit is a Person. The Holy Spirit is a Person. And the reason I've chosen this title and this particular topic about him today is because I want you to know that he's not just a force that's at work in the world. He is actually a person. He is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about him as a person today. By the way, he is a very, very dear friend to all of us, one who will never leave us nor forsake us, one who I think is probably referred to, at least this is the way I'm understanding it, the verse in the Bible that says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That is the Lord, of course, that is God. And it's true of the Father, it's true of the Son, it's also true of the Holy Spirit, because once he comes to live inside of us, you come to know Jesus as your Savior, you ask him to save you, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and the Bible says he never leaves, he's always going to be there. So he's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got saved in 1973, and he's never left. Amen. Everywhere I've gone, he's gone with me. And I'm happy for that. A couple of years ago, my wife and I took a trip to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary, and we made our way all the way down to San Antonio, Texas, spent some days there and enjoyed the river walk and some of the other things in the city of San Antonio. And if God permits me, I'm going to go back there soon and just visit, you know, not stay, but just visit. And looking forward to seeing a lot of the things that we saw last time and things that we didn't see last time. But my point is that wherever I go, he goes with me. I mentioned earlier in the prayer time about our troops. And we have people that we know, probably you have people that you know, that have been given orders to go over to the Middle East. At this time, we checked with April to make sure that Nick hadn't gotten any orders like that yet, and so far he has not. But we know of some others that are relatively close to us that are over there and being sent over there and so forth. And just want to encourage you to pray for them. And I want you to know that, and I hope they know this, that even if you get called up for military duty in a dangerous part of the world, all across the globe, the Holy Spirit goes with you. You're not going to go alone. Isn't that a good thought? No matter where you go, no matter what you have to go through, no matter what you have to deal with, he is there with you. So he is a person, and we're going to talk about that today. And I want to warn you about this ahead of time. And Winston, I want to warn you about this as well. I had planned originally that this would be a one-part message. I got so much material, I'm not sure we can get it all in one sermon. So if I save some of it for next Sunday, I just hope you'll all bear with me on that, all right? The Holy Spirit as a person. We're going to start out with John chapter 16 and verses 1 through 15, which say this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues." You know, Jesus is warning his disciples, isn't he? They're not going to like what you stand for, and they're going to put you out of the synagogues. "Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. And I hope you understand that means it's to your advantage. It's to your benefit. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, and that's another term for the Spirit of God, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And I'll stop reading there. This is just one of many passages that we could read about the Holy Spirit. And this is not really even a part of my outline, though it'll probably be touched on somewhere along the way. Did you notice how many times the word he was used? Normally you don't say that about an it. Normally, you don't use the word he when you're talking about just a force like gravity. Nobody calls gravity he, at least nobody that I know. In the world in which we live today, you got to qualify things, you know, because there are some strange folks out there. But there's some confusion among some people today concerning the Holy Spirit, and some folks believe that he is just a force or some kind of a power or something like that. But one of the things that the Bible teaches us, of course, is that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, a person. The Bible is quite clear in its teaching concerning the Holy Spirit being a person, and we're going to look at several different things. For instance, let me just give you some of the main thoughts I have here. The fact that he's a person is proved by his characteristics. It's proved by his works. It's proved by what is ascribed to him. It's also proved by some unusual grammar in the Bible. These are just some of the main thoughts that I want to share with you today. And that very first one is where we're going to begin. It's proved by his characteristics. How about I pray first and then I'll get into my outline here. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to have a Bible and to have the Holy Spirit as our teacher, and today to talk about him once again in order that we might come to know him better and appreciate him more and rely on him more in our everyday life. Bless, please, as I go about the message, give me wisdom and direction to know what to say and how to explain and apply these things. And may all of us have open ears and receptive hearts today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. His characteristics. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is intelligent? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." The Spirit of God knows all these things about God. You notice the Bible mentioned here in these two verses that I read to you off my notes that the Spirit of God is the one who reveals those things about God that God wants us to know. He's the one that reveals those things to us. These verses also told us that he searches all things. Believe it or not, friend, he knows why you're here today. He knows, are you ready? What you're thinking about right now. He knows whether or not you're really concentrating on what's being talked about. By the way, he knows what's going to happen to you today, tomorrow, next week, next month. He searches all things. I'm not sure what you think about this, but I'm really glad that I have him as my close companion and friend in life, who is very intelligent and knows all these things. God, the Holy Spirit, knows many, many more things than you and I do. And there are many more things that you and I don't know than do know. Isn't it good to know that you have a Holy Spirit who's with you and within you to help you to move through life and to make decisions? Someone to guide you, someone to teach you, not only about the spiritual things, but also about the secular things. God, the Holy Spirit, knows where you should live and what job you should have and who's a good friend for you and who's not. And, you know, he knows where you should go to church. And God, the Holy Spirit, of course, knows how to teach you the Bible and show you things from Scripture. He is very, very intelligent, and he knows everything about the things that you and I need to know, at least according to what God knows that we need to know, all right? So the Holy Spirit is intelligent. He's very, very intelligent. Did you know that the Holy Spirit also has, as a characteristic, not only intelligence, but did you know he has feelings? He's not just a force. You know, I think about a force, I think about gravity, I mentioned that already. I also think about it, when I think about force, I think about the wind. The wind is a force. And the wind, when it blows hard enough, of course, will rip shingles off your roof and will blow down trees and rip off siding and, you know, cause all kinds of damage. But again, you don't call the wind he normally, right? And you don't think of it as having feelings or intelligence, which I already mentioned, but the Holy Spirit has feelings. And the Bible says this, think about this verse, Ephesians 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I'm just picking out for each one of these thoughts just a verse that kind of touches on it. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. As you think about the Holy Spirit and him having feelings, and this verse, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, how is it, do you think, that God's people can grieve him? Anybody have an idea? Disobedience. Disobedience is a good way to grieve him. How about when you think about disobedience, how about thinking about doing something you shouldn't, or even not doing something you should? Because both of those will grieve him. I believe the Spirit of God is given to us at salvation, like the Bible teaches, and he comes to live inside of us to direct us, to lead us, and to guide us, to help us to make wise decisions. Hopefully, we listen to him. By the way, like I prayed this morning when I was asking God to bless the sermon, right near the end I said something like this, "Lord, help us all to have open ears and receptive hearts." You know why? So we don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Open ears, hearing what God has to say, receptive hearts, willing to receive it, take it in, learn from it. Hopefully practice it in your life. You and I can grieve the Holy Spirit of God by not doing something he wants us to do, and secondly, by doing something he doesn't want us to do. It's very important that you and I do our very best to listen to what he has to say and to try to follow his instructions and his guidance and his leadership rather than grieving him. I think sometimes I've met some Christians who basically are living their life the way they want to live it, and they don't really care all that much what the Lord is wanting from their life. That's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And believe it or not, he does have feelings, and he can be grieved, and he can be made to feel grieved by you and I doing or not doing the things that we do. So we're talking about the fact that he's a person and some of his characteristics. I mentioned already he has intelligence, and boy, he has a whole lot more intelligence than you and I have. And he also has feelings, and those feelings that he has, we need to take into consideration as well. Then there's another thing that I wanted to mention concerning his characteristics. Did you know that the Holy Spirit of God has a will? He has a will. Every now and then, I'll mention it from the pulpit or just in talking with someone, and maybe you talk about it this way sometimes as well. The will of God. The will of God. God has a will. God has a plan. God has a desire for each and every one of us, and we were not made by accident. You know, we didn't just happen. I don't know what you think about evolution, but to me it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. It doesn't really make any sense whatsoever. Ah, but that idea of creationism and God being the creator and God making us and fashioning us according to his will and breathing within us the breath of life and you and I being made in the image of God and all that, I believe all that because the Bible says so. All right? But God has a will. And God has a will and a plan and desires for basically the whole world. And God has a will and a plan and desire for our church. And God has a will and a plan and a desire for you and I, each one as individuals. I wonder, do you ever think about God's will for your life and what he wants from you? And then what he wants for you? God's will. God the Holy Spirit has a will. I think Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all in tune the same on this will matter. Aren't you? I don't think God the Holy Spirit would lead us to go against God the Father's will or God the Son's will. I think they all work together as an orchestra, in a sense, you know, all playing the same tune, all making beautiful harmony together, all working and pulling and moving in the same direction. And God has a will for all of us. You notice in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That passage in 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And it listed them, which I didn't list them here, but it lists them in chapter 12. And then it says, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. God gives to different individuals, according to his will, different abilities and different talents and different gifts to use for the Lord. So the Holy Spirit has a will, and every one of us should tap into that and try to find out what that is and try to fulfill that for our life. I hope you agree with me when I tell you that it was God the Father's will and still is God the Father's will that I do what I do. I think that was God's plan for me. Now, I've told you before, and I don't mind reminding you this morning, that there were times early on when I didn't necessarily want to do this. God was making it clear to me that that's what he wanted, and I have to be honest and say that I didn't quickly submit. It took me a couple of weeks wrestling, in a sense, with the Lord because I didn't necessarily want to do this. I can also say, if I'm really, really honest, that through all the years that I've been doing this, there have been other times when I have wondered if I would be willing and wanted to, sometimes my flesh wanted to, just walk away from it. But here's the thing, and we're going to see this, by the way, tonight in our study in Jeremiah. Jeremiah gets to the place in chapter 20, that's where we're going to be tonight, where he says, you know what? The persecution from my own countrymen is, and I'm not going through persecution, that's not why, but Jeremiah said, the persecution from my own countrymen is bad enough that's it, I'm not speaking anymore in his name. It's in chapter 20, you'll see it tonight. And then he says, but the fire was burning within me, and I had to speak. Now, I put this in my own words, of course. The fire was burning within me, and I had to speak. And I can relate to that in some way. I've not been persecuted like Jeremiah was, but there have been days and times when I just kind of you know, maybe wanted to get so discouraged with it all, just wanted to walk away from it. But you can't. Once the Lord puts his hand upon you and shows you his will and made it very clear to you, and he's helped you and used you in other times, you might want to, but you couldn't get away from it even if you tried. Because God's will for you is that. See, I've heard other men talk about that. I've heard missionaries talk about that. Evangelists, pastors, and even just, you know, regular Christians just, you know, thinking about maybe walking away. Remember I mentioned these two folks just not too long ago in one of our services that decided they were going to walk away from Christianity? If they're truly saved, they won't be able to walk away all that long. No. Right? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside. And he never leaves. And so he's always there. And he's going to be nagging them to try to get back on the right track. I don't know about you, but I claim that for some folks. Because I know some folks that are away from God. And I pray for them. And you know who I'm talking about, Sarah. There's two individuals in particular right now that we've been praying about, that God would get a hold of their heart and get them back on track again. And because they made professions of faith, and hopefully the Spirit of God is living within them, he's going to start nagging them, because there's two people that are praying for them and wanting them to get back right with God again. Don't ever give up. You know, as long as they're breathing, there's still hope. Amen. Don't ever forget that. The end of the story hadn't been written yet. Don't ever forget that either. I don't know why God reminded me about that this week. I was thinking about someone and wondering, you know, but he reminded me, the end of the story is not written yet. So keep on praying and keep on being in God's service, and let him use you as he sees fit, because he has a will. We're talking about his characteristics. He's intelligent. He has feelings. He has a will. There's a lot of other things that I can mention here, but I want to move on so I can get to another point at least this morning. This one's a little bit longer. When you think about the Holy Spirit as a person, yes, his characteristics like intelligence and feelings and a will. But you know, when you look at the Lord and you look at his word and you look at what the Holy Spirit says about, what the Lord says about the Holy Spirit, you find out his works are also talked about a lot in the Bible. So I want to mention this concerning the Holy Spirit as a person, not only his characteristics, but it's also proved by his works. And the first one I want to start out with was talked about in the passage that we read, that we started with, and it's also mentioned in an earlier chapter in John, and that is this: the Holy Spirit teaches men and women. He teaches men and women. In chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, it says in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." You know, this verse says he'll teach you all things, but then it also says he'll bring all things to your remembrance. I wonder if any Bible college students ever claimed that verse before they took a test. I know this man did. When I was in Bible college, sitting down to take a test from Dr. Weeks or Dr. Hollywood or one of the other, you know, Dr. Lamore or some of those teachers that I had at that time. I don't think any of them are around anymore, but at that time, those were some of my teachers. And sitting down to take a test, how many times did I pray and say, "God, please help me to remember those things that they taught us, those things that I studied, those things that I need to remember for this test right here." God, the Holy Spirit, teaches men. The Bible says in verse 26 of chapter 14 of John, he'll teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I like those words, all things. How about you? I need his help from time to time, and I'm sure you do as well. You know, the Bible said in this passage that we read as our text also, that he would teach us, okay? That he would be with us always and teach us the things that we need to know. Look at verse 13 of our text. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Notice, guiding you into all truth. And then showing you things to come. So many wonderful things that the Spirit of God will teach us. Can I encourage you this morning? Make sure that you allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. Don't just depend on what some man said. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. This Friday evening, Sarah and I were invited to go to Monroe to take part in a little celebration time for my baby sister, Mary. Her and her husband pastor a church in Monroe, and they invited us to come to a Mexican restaurant down there, which I'd never eaten there, but it was pretty good food. And we had some good fellowship and time down there. But me and some of my siblings and some other folks from their church, they invited. I think they said there was some 15 of us there. And anyway, we gathered together to celebrate my baby sister's 50th birthday. Man, is she getting old. But we were sitting around the table and we were talking about all kinds of things. And of course, you know this. My brother Mike is a pastor, and of course, her husband, Matt, he's a pastor. And we were sitting near each other, and we were discussing certain things. And Matt was telling me what they do in their Wednesday night service. By the way, it's not exactly what we do. Now, you know what happens sometimes when Baptist pastors get together and they share what's going on in their church, and it doesn't match up with what somebody else said goes on in their church? You know what Baptist pastors do sometimes? Sometimes they try to correct that other person. Huh? Sometimes when they leave that meeting, they badmouth that other person. Well, I just want you to know that neither one of those two things happened. And here's one of the reasons why it didn't happen. Because I said to Matt, my brother-in-law, I said, you know what? You need to know what God wants you to do in your church. Not what happens in every church has to be exactly the same. And I said, you need to know your people, your town. You need to know what God wants you to do. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, you just need to be happy with that. If somebody else doesn't like it, that's their problem. Sometimes as independent Baptists, we can be so rigid. We can actually squeeze God out of the equation. It is really quiet in here. Did you know that? Did you know, I said this earlier, God has a will, but God also has a will, I think I may have mentioned this, for every church. What does He want them to do? Did you know the Bible says that we're not to judge one another because he's going to be judged by his own master? Before his own master he standeth, there falleth. Do you believe, as I do, that we have enough to worry about just taking care of ourselves? I believe that. So somebody else does it a little bit differently. Well, they're going to have to answer to the Lord for that. And I'll have to answer to the Lord for how I do things. And you'll have to answer to the Lord on how you do things. So the Holy Spirit of God teaches us, okay? He teaches us what God wants us to know. He teaches us, of course, what God wants us to know from the Bible, but even things that aren't included in the Bible, like maybe how to run your Wednesday night service. Okay, I can let that go. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and it says so in chapter 14, verse 26, in all things. In all things. So he's our teacher. One of his works is to teach men and women. Here's another one. He guides men and women. He guides men and women. In Romans 8 and verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I'm not going to do this morning, but my wife will remember this, and my daughter Rebecca will remember this too. And I'm just going to use Rebecca as an example. Okay? Just imagine, if you would, get your imagination working here, okay? But just imagine, if you would, me leaving the pulpit, going back to the last row there where Rebecca is, backslider, and grab her by the hand. By the way, the word backslider, that was teasing, okay? That was teasing. I've sat in the back before. It's not all that far. But anyway, I can go back there and I can grab Rebecca by the hand, and I would just hang on to her hand, and she'd hang on to mine, and I would walk her down this aisle, come right past the Lewis's right there, and I'd walk across the front right in front of my wife, and then I'd walk down this center aisle right past Marie, and then maybe I'd take her out that door right in front of Tom there, and I'd just take her out. Then I'd turn her around, I'd bring her back, and then I'd go down the aisle and go down past Tony and take her right back to her seat. You say, why would you even describe that? Because that's me leading her. You get the thought? The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does as one of his works, of course, is to teach us, but also to lead us, to guide us. All right? He wants to, in a sense, take you by the hand and lead you through life. He'll help you with all your decisions. He'll help you to know right from left. You know, sometimes you might not know which. This is funny, too. This spitting all over my Bible. I did not know Friday night where this restaurant was. I knew it was in Monroe, but I haven't spent enough time in Monroe to know that where this restaurant was. So what did I do? I plugged it into my GPS, and I let GPS guide me there. Now, I don't know how you go to Monroe, but if I was going to go to Monroe, just me, myself, and I, I'd get in my car, and I'd go down 138, and when I got to the where the Quick Trip is, you know, right there, I forget the name of the road. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'd turn left, and I'd head out of Oregon towards Brooklyn, and I'd go through Brooklyn, all the way through Brooklyn, until I got to 59, and then I'd turn right, and 59 goes right into Monroe. That's how I would go. By the way, that's how we came back. But remember, before I left, I plugged in the address to the restaurant in my GPS. My GPS took me way out into the country. Honest truth. I've lived here 17 years now, a little over. I was on roads I hadn't been on yet. And I was going to Monroe. I'd been there numerous times. But not this way. But I let the lady in the GPS tell me which way to go. And I told Sarah on the way, didn't I? We're not going home this way. We are not going home this way. Any of you ever had experiences like that with a GPS? There you go. I don't even know how I got off on that. Oh, leading. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us, okay? And sometimes, this is why I bring it up. Sometimes as God is leading us, if we're honest, it seems like it doesn't make sense. Sometimes he may take us down a path that we wouldn't choose. Sometimes he may take us into an area that we wouldn't choose. But unlike me on the way back, because I went the way that I know and wanted to go, we need to be more like I was on the way there, as far as not necessarily following the GPS, but following the Lord, following the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. Let him take you sometimes on a path that might you wouldn't have chosen, or on a way that you might not have chosen. Why? Because God's way is always best. And along the way, and I've noticed this in my lifetime, God the Holy Spirit leading me, I've noticed this, that sometimes those roads you wouldn't have chosen, you're going to learn lessons you couldn't learn any other way. And God can teach you things you wouldn't learn any other way. So allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Some of his works, he teaches men and women, he guides men and women. And here's a third one. He also commissions. He commissions men. I don't know that he commissions women. I'm not sure. So I'll just say men. He commissions men. I know that this happened in the Bible. For instance, in Acts chapter 13, you remember that God, the Holy Spirit, commissioned Paul and Silas to go out on their missionary journeys. In chapter 13, verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Of course, it goes on. But the Holy Spirit chose Paul and Silas to go out on these missionary journeys, and they followed. They followed God's guidance and God's leading because God commissioned them to do that. I think, maybe not in the exact same way, but I think in a similar way, God has commissioned me to do what I do. He called me, chose me. He gave me this ability and this privilege to serve him in this way. That's, yes, I mentioned, I wrestled with him a little bit in the beginning, but for many, many years now, I've tried my best to follow his leading and do what he wants me to do. This, you know this already, I hope, but this is church number 5 for me. When I started out, I was sure that I'd be in one church my whole life. That was my desire. That was my intention. That's what I planned. But God had a different plan. And we had to leave, and each time we left, except for one we were kind of glad to leave. But the other ones, each one of them, it was heartbreaking. You know, it just was. Probably the very first one was the worst, to have to leave that one. We talk about it often, don't we, about mopping our way out of the parsonage and how sad that was. And, you know, turning in the keys and all that kind of stuff. That was so difficult and so hard. And some of those closest friends we still have to this day are people that we met there and made friendships with there. But God commissions men to do certain tasks and to follow his lead. And hopefully, if God ever calls you, that you'll be willing to follow his lead and allow him to call you and commission you to do the work that he wants you to do. That's some of the works. Now, I have others. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 others that I want to deal with, but I'm running out of time, so I'm going to wrap this up for today. We'll look at some more of this next week as far as his works. But then we're also going to talk about things that are ascribed to him. I got a list there too. And this may take more than 2 times. We'll see. That very last one, unusual grammar, that might be interesting. But the Holy Spirit is a person. I just want you to know that. He's not a force. He's not like gravity. Or I've thought about this a lot. It's not like, remember Star Wars? May the Force be with you. It's not that. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person in the Trinity. By the way, we'll talk about this eventually too, probably after we get done with this sermon. He's not only a person, he's God. He's God. And that one might take us a while too. But I hope as we go through this little series that you come to know the Holy Spirit a little bit better. And realize this very special friend that God gave to you, who lives within you, who will never leave, that you can depend on, you can count on him, you ought to listen to him, you ought to allow him to lead in your life. Let him teach you and guide you. Your life will be better for doing that. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and no one is looking because we don't want to embarrass anyone. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this study that we can do on the Holy Spirit. There's so much, and even after we're done, it's going to take us many weeks, but even after we're done, we still would not have exhausted all that the Bible says about this special friend, the Holy Spirit. Help us, though, in the weeks that we do take, to learn more about him, to come to appreciate him and love him even more, and hopefully to become more submissive in his hands, to allow him, the Holy Spirit, that is, to do in our life what he wants to do. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.